Harris a huge round of applause. She comes and shares.
Awesome. Hey, why don't you do a couple of things? Why don't you give these guys a hand? Just amazing. And why don't you turn around and say good morning to someone? Just do a little bit of meet and greet while I figure something out. How are you, church? Okay. How are you? Awesome, awesome. I had to ask Pastor Andrew what the real time is. Daylight saving is always tricky for me. And that was last week, so that's 7 days I've had to try and get it together. And who's with me? Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, there you go. And I've got three time things, and they're all different. And I don't know which one's which. And so I went on to Foxtel and I trusted that one. And so I believe the time is 10 to 11, according to Pastor Andrew. Awesome. Hey, why don't you grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark. Electronically, if you don't have a Bible, try sit next to someone that has one or something like that. Just bring your Bibles. And it's Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. You guys got it? Okay, cool. You know, while those that are actually still getting it, you know, this is a well-known Bible scripture. And it depicts a woman with desperate faith to be healed, amen, by Jesus. And what happens is that her world collides with him while he's on the way to somewhere. He's somewhere, he's going somewhere. And if you know in the Bible, so many times of Jesus' healings are actually on the way somewhere. And they actually collide with him on the way to wherever he's going. Like with Zacchaeus, he was one of them. He was also passing a funeral of a young man. And then, of course, he touched the body and it wasn't a funeral anymore. It was a celebration. Come on, church. This is the God that we actually do believe in and do serve. And then he was also on the way to somewhere and he was by a cemetery and there was the demoniac, the man that was totally out of his mind with demons and the demon was called Legion. And it was over years and years, and then Jesus collided with him on the way somewhere. And he was healed. Somewhere. And I tell you what, church, this is one thing I know about Jesus, is that it doesn't take a lot to impress him. You don't have to do a lot to impress him to get his attention. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to. Am I a bit loud? Am I a little bit loud? Okay. All right, keep going. And, you know, you don't have to impress him. You don't have to work for his attention. All you got to do is call his name. And all you've got to say is, Jesus, heal my body. Jesus, heal my relationship. He doesn't play hide and go seek with the church. He's quite the opposite. He actually stands in that road of collision and he says, church, call out to me. And on the way to somewhere, there was a lady. And let's read all about her. Those that don't know the story, I tell you what, you're in for a ride because this is one of my favorites. In verse 21, and it goes, now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, and Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and she will live. Verse 24, so Jesus went with them and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. He was on his way to Jairus' place and someone else stops him. You guys get that, church? Tell you what, you don't have to be on his agenda for him to have for you to have a whole revelation of him. You don't have to at all. He's quite the opposite. Verse 26, and had suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather worse. And verse 27, and when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself and power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Isn't he cute? He's so beautiful, isn't he? He's beautiful. I love him. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And verse 32, and he looked around to see her and who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, and came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Shalom. Shalom. And be healed of your affliction. You know, this woman had no name. No one really knows a lot about her. In fact, the early Greek writings, they simply called her, and just wait for it, everyone, here it goes, the woman with a hemorrhage. I know, it's okay, we'll just pass that. And for 12 years, she was at the mercy of this disease. She visited doctors, it made her worse. And seeing them, of course, they had no idea. And according to the law in Leviticus, she was an outcast. She wasn't only an outcast, she was also deemed as unclean. She knew this law, she had been brought up with this law, so she accepted this law of being an outcast. If she was married, I'd guarantee she was divorced now. If she had children, she couldn't touch them. She couldn't feel them, she couldn't feel their warmth, she couldn't have a lot to do with them at all. She couldn't go to any temple worship services. She couldn't do anything to even engage in Yahweh. And she was totally separate from the living. She lived a life of isolation. She lived a life of shame. She was broke. No money because the doctors. No intimacy, even on the sense of being married. Nothing whatsoever. She was totally desperate. And you know, I was checking out what disease she may have had in the modern day. And this is the possible list that she had. She had a bleeding disorder. She had problems with clotting. She had thyroid dysfunction. She had glandular issues. She had infections. She had ovaries with cysts. She had uterus polyps. She had cancer. And she had anemia. Just to say a few. This woman, in anemia, she was weak, she was tiny, she was pale. Well, nothing's wrong with being pale. Nothing's wrong with being pale whatsoever. But she was pale from an affliction, church. This is what she lived under, and no wonder the doctors had no idea what they were doing, because you need an ultrasound, which they never had back then. She had no idea. And check this out. Have a look at verse 24. So Jesus went with Jairus, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. You know, I was kind of thinking about that word thronged. Yeah. Say thronged. Yeah, it's weird, eh? Thronged. Thronged is actually an early English word. And what it means, thronged actually means a vast, tightly packed crowd moving or forced to move in the one direction. Oh, that's what thronged means. They actually use it as like a school of fish, moving in the one direction. And it says in my Bible that Jesus, of course he did, he had a great multitude of people because he was so popular, And they were in a thronged position, forced to walk in one direction. And you know, I don't know if you guys, but I was in Central train station, and waiting to get on a train. And there must have been about, not hundreds, but maybe 100 people waiting to go. And a train comes in, and about 300 people got off. And they said, we've got to have to relocate to another train station, another platform in Central. Let me show you what this looked like. This is a throng. Here, this is me. Where is it, Jack? Where's that throng? Someone? And this is what it looks like. And I was in the middle of it, and I had to take a photo to actually show you people the throng I was actually in. There. That's, I'm over here by this person, and we are walking in one direction. Where's the other? We're not walking to one direction, by the way. And there, here's, I'm here, and I'm on the train station, and these are the people already trying to get onto the train like me, and now 300 people are getting off the train. Where's my next one, honey? There we go. We are walking in one direction. And this woman, we can take that off now. And this woman, with all her not a lot of strength, came and she was in front of a throng of a massive amount of people. And what she did, all she did was she, I can tell you what she did right now, if you can imagine it. All she saw was him, and all she knew, that's where she had to get to. Because she knew that was her healing. You know, when I read this story, I think of determination wrapped in desperation. She came, and then in verse 29, let's have a look what she did. And in 29, she says, 28, and she says, if only I may touch the clothes, I should be well. And then she touches him. And it says in verse 29 here, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. And here's Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone. Immediately, you know, suddenly, immediately there's a change in her life. Immediately she is out of the curse of being unclean, out of the curse of being isolated, out of the curse of having this affliction. Immediately. Do you know, a few years ago when we only had two children, and then we have, of course, a beautiful third child. But, you know, when we had only two kids, I remember, you know, I was working and working pretty hard and working in back docks of supermarkets, and I was a sales rep and just throwing around stock and, you know, doing the things that a mum does at home and cleans and does everything. And I tell you, I went to the doctor for something. Anyway, they say to me, you're pregnant. And what do you do when you get that word? You go for a second opinion, yeah? You go for a second opinion, and I am serious. I went for a second opinion because I had no idea I was pregnant. And let me just let you into a little bit of a secret. Those that don't know, you actually carry a baby for 40 weeks, and when I had an ultrasound, I was 23 weeks. Yeah, that's why I went for a second opinion. I had no idea I was pregnant with precious Jesse. No idea whatsoever. But immediately on that information, I changed. All of a sudden, I ate for two. Is that right? Come on. All of a sudden, I couldn't hang out clothes. All of a sudden, I couldn't do certain things. I couldn't make a bed. And all of a sudden, Jack was a Jack. All of a sudden, because I had information, that's right, because they know. Husbands know. As soon as I knew I had changed physically, I was not like that the day I woke up, but I was that the day I went to bed. Suddenly, information came to me of change. Suddenly, I walked different. You know that walk? Is that how you walk, Kim? We had big babies, man, Polynesians. The walk changed, the eating changed, the clothes changed. Everything around you changes because of the information that something has happened. This woman, immediately changed. She wasn't isolated. She was under a condition for 12 years, this thing that was merciless and said to her, when you can, what you can't do. No children, no intimacy with her husband, no affection towards her children, no relationship with the worship in the temple. Come on, church. When change came, and when did change come? When she suddenly met Jesus. Immediately when she met Jesus, there was a change. And I don't know the Jesus that you serve, church, but I tell you, the Jesus I serve is the Jesus when we as believers and lovers of Christ and lovers of the house, that we walk in strength, that we walk in his authority, that we walk in his mercy, we walk in his grace youth. We've got a message to say to people at school. We've got a message of hope and grace and life. Once upon a time, according to the law in Leviticus, the old covenant, it says so many things opposite to the new covenant, church. Check this out. Go to verse 29. I just love Jesus. You know, when you collide with him in your world, I mean, he just changes. He puts everything the right way. The conditions that you've been living in, the labeling that has been put on you, the words that have been spoken of negativity, the words that have been said over you as a child, the words that have been said over you as an adult, they mean zero. Because when you collide with Jesus, he shakes your world and he brings you up the right way. And when he met her, when they met each other, wow. That's the Jesus. Here is the same Jesus that we pray, that we worship this morning. He's the same Jesus. He gives us authority. Man, did you know that you are the apple of his eye? I thought I was. Apparently I've been told that by him. Then I heard he told Mona that and Mish. He's amazing. He's beautiful. And you know, wherever you sit, in the Christian walk, and you don't know him as this, man, you got to have a collision with him this morning. And that's in your heart. And we're going to bring to that place of giving you that opportunity. And no one ever stands in judgment here. And then verse 30, let me just go, and I'm nearly finished. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, and he turned around and he says, let's everyone say, who touched my clothes? My clothes. But his disciples said to him, you said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? But he looked around to see her who had done this. And but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. You know, if you can just imagine what's happened, she's actually in fear only because she lives under the law. She lives under the law. And that's why she was trembling, because she knew she wasn't allowed to touch him, let alone him, that she wasn't even allowed to be in the crowd. So some reason I actually think she doesn't come from that area, because no one actually knew who she was, or they would have yelled out, carried on, you know how they are, you know, unclean, unclean. But I just believe she came from another area in search of him. And so according to the law in Leviticus, it says, under the old covenant, you are not permitted to be close to the Savior. it says in the law, according to the law, that you are not allowed to have relationship. It says in the law that you are totally separated. That's what the law, and so she comes. And if you can imagine now, the throng is moving. I kind of like that word now. Yeah. The throng is moving. And then she's touched. He's touched. And then he stops. And he says, "Who touched me?" Can you see the throng kind of jumping up, you know, banging against each other? And he turns around in his Messiah way. And he sees this woman. And I tell you, she would have been on the ground because it says that she touched his garment, his the hem of his garment. And it says that, and she would have looked around and she was trembling. And I tell you, in all that she is, I just believe right then she still lived under the law of Leviticus, even though she was touched suddenly. Because if she wasn't, she wouldn't be trembling. But what happened? Her mind had to catch up with her testimony. Her mind had to catch up with her testimony, with what happened. Her mind had to realize something had happened and I do not live under that law anymore. And you know, in the church, we have given, some of us have given our hearts to the Lord, but guess what? Your mind has to catch up. Or what's happened is that your mind is dictating to your heart what is and isn't true. And according to that, Jesus' response, check this out, and I might just get the band up or Rocky up because I'm finished. And in verse 34, beautiful Jesus, she's trembling, he's looking. The disciples are saying nothing. And then Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Daughter, your faith has made you well. I don't know about you, but you can't get any more esteemed by a family member, especially a dad, than someone calling you son or daughter. Because what that says to me right there is Jesus is saying, she belongs to me. She's mine. She's in my family. I protect her. I look after her. And now she is under the new covenant. Big difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, church. The new covenant, the old covenant says you're separated. The new covenant says you're included. The old covenant says you can't have a relationship. The new covenant says come. The old covenant says it's all about religion. The new covenant says it's all about relationship. I tell you, this woman, she found the new covenant face to face. And immediately, suddenly, she was changed because of Jesus. Do you know, on Thursday at the food care, I had one of my clients, and we read her prayer request. Come on. We read her prayer request this morning, and her name's Brenda. We know Brenda, don't we, Ray? Muslim lady. Where's the whole thing? You know, she came and then I says to her, you know, how are you going? And she goes, I'm not good. I said, what's up? And she said, I've just been diagnosed with leukemia. And I right there, I tell you what, in that laneway, it was holy ground. And I tell you, I said, look, I've got a whole church family that what we want to do, we're going to pray for you. And these are the words she said that I was really taken back. And she says this, and I just find this just Amazing. She said, can your Jesus heal me? Can we? Can your Jesus heal me? And she said 2 years ago, her sister was diagnosed with the same leukemia and she passed away. And that's why this family is now freaking out. But you know what? For a Muslim, beautiful Muslim friend of mine, to say to me, can your Jesus heal me? I tell you, that tells me that she's desperate. And life is the throng and Brenda's trying to get in there to meet our Jesus. And I said to her, let me tell you, I spoke to her about the wonders of Jesus. But you know, church, I want to tell you that we're going to introduce Brenda to the new covenant, Jesus. But how are you sitting this morning? How's your heart? You know, how's the condition of your heart? Do you backwards and forwards into the old and new covenant? Do you sometimes stay in the old and go into the new? How's your heart? How's your heart with Jesus? You know, last weekend, the Easter production was amazing. Just amazing. Just so real. People responding to Jesus. People out there now with Jesus, learning about him. But as the church, how's your heart? How's your heart? You know, you may have given your heart to Jesus. I don't know when, but before. But you know you're not living the life of the new covenant. You know that. Or you know you're dabbling backwards and forwards. And with that brings confusion, and with that brings, you know, the whole sense of unsure. But I want to tell you this morning, my brother, my sister, is this. Make a decision to change. You may not even know Jesus. You may never have ever said, come into my life. And this morning, I want to give you the opportunity. I want to introduce you to someone just amazing. Amen? Come on, church, why don't we? Heads bowed and eyes closed and Christians praying.